Welcome back to another episode of the Essential Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Fred Cannon, owner and creator of Essential Sports Consultant and director of basketball operations at Rise Indoor Sports, located at 419 Twins Way, Advance, North Carolina. It's about 20 minutes outside of Winston-Salem. Eight courts, turf, anything you need to make an indoor event take place, we have it. Definitely check us out for all your rental needs. Big time basketball tournaments every weekend, gymnastics, wrestling, cornhole. We do a little bit of it all. If you got interest, definitely feel free to hit me up. Today is a special day for all Rising Juniors. It's June 15th. It's midnight. And a lot of kids are up by their phones hoping to receive phone calls, as this is the first day that Rising Juniors can receive direct phone calls from college coaches. I've been working hard for my guys, and definitely have a cheat sheet for all you assistant coaches who've been concentrating on the portal and haven't had much time to research that 2024 class as much as you would like to. I have a great cheat sheet. You can definitely text me if you have my information, but I'm gonna give you a couple of those gems today. I haven't been wrong much in the past, and I don't plan on being wrong with this group either. At the top of my list, I have 2024 point guard Jace Richardson out of Bishop Gorman High School. Jace is currently ranked in the top 25 on ESPN. USA basketball kid, already hosts and holds multiple D1 offers. And the kid is just smooth in his own right. He's 6'1", 6'2", somewhere in that ballpark. Crafty left-handed guard that can shoot, finish above the rim, set other guys up, makes guys better. He's the engine for a powerful Bishop Gorman team. He's a youngster and also, you know, led that team to a very good record this year and as a freshman. So he's carved out his niche already as a sophomore, as a freshman and a sophomore. And I would only expect, you know, those things to continue to take place for him. There's not a whole lot of holes in this game. And that's hard for me to say with such a young prospect, because at that age, you know, there's always something they need to work on, but there's not a lot of deficiencies to where, as an opposing coach, you can just target that and limit him from his production that he's normally getting. He's crafty. He makes adjustments well in game, but you can just tell that he's a student of the game. His pedigree also gives him a cheat code. He is the son of Jason Richardson, prolific scorer in the NBA, prolific high jumper in the NBA. So he's been around the game for a long time. He's seen it firsthand, and he knows the work ethic it takes to get there. He does have some of his dad's athleticism. His younger brother, Jax, who is a 2026, has all of his dad's athleticism already. He's going to be a big-time prospect in his own right. But coaches, definitely take a look at Jace Richardson, 2024 point guard, Bishop Gorman. Make yourself look smart in front of your boss and bring his name up. And I'm sure you that the feedback will be well received by your head coach once he watches film or gets a chance to lay eyes on him. He's tending to an injury right now, so you may not see him in July. But, you know, call Dom Showalter and those guys, and anybody with Nike. He's with Paul George, AAU program. You know, do your research, do your due diligence. I'm sure you won't be disappointed by the feedback that you receive on Jace Richardson, 2024 point guard out of Bishop Gorman High School. It's been a pleasure working with him and his family. I know there's always a red flag usually dealing with former NBA players and any right or guys who've had success. I think college coaches are leery of the work ethic, or if there's entitlement, or, you know, I guess a false sense of how good their child can be just because they're an NBA player. But I can assure you that that's not the case with this family or with Jace. He's earned what he's gotten. He will continue to earn everything moving forward. But I'm excited about Jace as a prospect and as getting to know him and his family. They would be a great addition to any program. I think he definitely trends to be a high major point guard, and I think he trends to be someone who plays right away at that level. And if a mid-major can steal him, then that mid-major program is going to make a serious run in a conference from day one. So definitely make yourself look smart. Jace Richardson, 2024 guard, Bishop Gorman. Next on my list, I have one of my favorite players because of his efficiency and his versatility, and that's Lewis Walker. He's Winston-Salem Christian. He's out of North Carolina. He's about 6'6", 6'7". Very versatile. College frame already. Athleticism's off the charts. He's a double-double machine in any venue, whether it's traveling with Salem Christian or traveling with CP3, who he plays AAU with a very formidable 16 and under team. Luke Walker is going to be lunch pail, you know, hard hat type kid. He has all the skills to bring the ball up the floor, shoot the ball, but he gets it wherever the game gives it to him at. He reminds me a lot of Grant Williams, watching him in high school and watching him now. I think the biggest difference between the two, I think Lou's outside shooting ability is already is further ahead than where Grant's was at the same stage. I feel like Grant was a better playmaker at this same age, but both guys are in similar veins when you see those guys play. I think the key for Lou is just getting a chance to showcase everything that he can do in his own right. He's a part of some great programs with Winston-Salem Christian and with CP3 that, you know, you have a lot of high profile guys, so you kind of get in where you fit in. I think coaches would be blown away if they were able to see his total game displayed every single game. He does what he has to make his team win, and he doesn't mind doing that. But I just want coaches to understand that you can put him on the floor in a lot of different facets and he's still gonna bring you production. And his leadership capabilities, his intensity, you're gonna love that. It's not many young guys that you see who still wanna compete. He's not a mixtape kid. He has a great smile, great personality, but on that floor, he's all dog. He's a big dog on that floor. He's not any of those cute dogs you put in your purse and all that. He's going at whoever's in front of him. If there's mentionings that his matchup is better than him, he's going to make it a point to prove that he's the better ball player. I love that competitive edge. He actually works out at our facility, Rise Indoor Sports. Lou's in there all day. He gets there at, 8 o'clock in the morning. He probably doesn't leave till 4 or 5 o'clock p.m. He trains. He does cardio, weightlifting, conditioning, skill development. He'll take a break and actually work with our younger kids in the gym, get right back to it for himself. And he does that consistently day in and day out. And I watched him do that for 2 summers straight. And that type of work ethic tends to lead to a kid being successful. And I think any college program that's looking for a low maintenance guy that can bring production right away, Lou Walker should be receiving phone calls right now as we speak. For me, I just don't see that changing for him. I think the ceiling only continues to get higher and higher for him. And then just seeing exactly how tall he ends up being, even if he stays at the same 6'6", 6'7", I think he could be productive to the point of a Jalen Gardner. The numbers he put up at East Carolina, I can see Lou Walker doing the same thing in a similar fit. I think high majors would definitely see the value in Lou Walker. I think he's a absolute program changer for a mid-major, for sure. And would be an absolute steal for any type of low major programs, or if people even use those terms now. But I see Lou in the American Conference, A-10, those type of conferences, and doing extremely well in a starter's role. I think he's a difference between a national championship for a larger school because of him being able to be versatile and come in and just do all the dirty work and just make plays from a lot of areas on the floor for a higher level program. So you know, take that with a grain of salt. I hate putting limitations on kids. That's just kind of my evaluation of where he could best fit. But I mean, he's one of those type kids I would never bet against him. So coaches, again, if you want to be smart, Lou Walker, Prince Salem Christian, 6'6", 6'7", power forward. I don't even call him power forward. He's just a forward or a basketball player. He's one of the kids I call a basketball player. It's hard to put a label on what his game is, but I would just say he's a forward and plays on the perimeter and on the inside. So he can be used in, you know, either facet, but just works his tail off. But Lewis Walker, a.k.a. Lou, Big Lou, Winston-Salem Christian, team CP3-16U. He should be deserving of some phone calls today, and I think you'll see him receiving quite a few offers over the next 24, 48 hours. People who watched him during April have all been blown away, and he would be deserving of every single phone call that he gets. So he's already received since 12 a.m. of when I started this podcast. But definitely check him out. My next guy is Kobe George. He's a 6'4-ish, you know, somewhere between 6'4, 6'3, 6'4. Guard, combo guard, can play on ball or off ball. Kobe is at the Burlington School. He's been a part of state championships for the last 2 years. He's also on Team CP3 with Lou Walker. And Kobe George is a kid that actually had in my program before we stopped operating Team Felton. He played 16 and under as an eighth grader for us and started. So he's been on the big stage for a long time. He has exceptional athleticism, exceptional IQ. Gets to the rim at will. A great on-ball defender and off-ball defender. Makes the right reads. Very unselfish as a basketball player. I would actually like to see him be more selfish on the offensive end. I think he can apply pressure to the other team's defense, which could, you know, create opportunities to create for his teammates. But I think he could easily be, you know, at the high school level, I think he could easily be a close to a triple-double every single night if he was a little more selfish on the offensive end. He's so it's hard to throw a comparison at you for him, but he's got a college body already, college athleticism already. And again, he's on two teams that have a lot of star power, and I think sometimes it's easy to overlook his production because it's not like dynamic, like it's not crazy dunks, it's not, he just makes the right plays, and then you get the stat sheet, you get a full picture of what that kid's impact on the game was and how he does it in such an efficient manner as well from the guard spot. He's not a high volume shooter, but he does, he gets a lot of paint touches. He creates for a lot of guys, gets a lot of hockey assists, those type of deals. But like I said, that doesn't hit the analytics in high school. So a lot of times that he can be taken for granted. But again, I think programs who really know ball, really do their due diligence and watch this kid play, especially in July or watching during this live periods this week, you know, will be, you know, excited about what his ceiling looks like moving forward. And I get the college coaches, you know, 2 years seems like 10 years now with the transfer portal, but definitely build a relationship with Kobe George, and I think, you know, you'll be better for having him involved. You know, his mid-range game is exceptional. His three-point shooting, you know, he's one of those guys, he's not a shooter, but he makes shots. I think he could go 4-for-4 one game, and he may only take 3 the next game. You know, he's just one of those kids, but he makes shots when he needs to make them. Mid-range is almost unguardable at this level, and getting him out of the paint is almost, you know, it's not going to happen at this level. So he does a lot of things very well, and I think over the next 2 years, he'll have an opportunity to perfect those things and also limit, you know, anything that could be seen as a weakness. He has the work ethic to do it, and he has the time to work on those facets of his game. But he's an outstanding prospect. Again, he'll make you look very smart 2 years from now for having coach, you know, having your boss reach out to this kid or putting an early offer on the table for Kobe George. To me, it's a no-brainer. for him and the other two kids already mentioned. I just seen so much of his body of work. It just makes a lot of sense at this point. But definitely check out Kobe George, George, G-E-O-R-G-E. And let me know what you think. If you want to reach out to any of these kids, you know, reach out to me on any social media platform. If you have a phone number, definitely reach in. I know I sent all these kids information out along with clips to a lot of schools and staffs. But if you have further questions, definitely reach out to me. A couple more kids that I have that I'm excited about is Isaiah Washington, obviously a 2024. He's another big guard, 6'4", maybe 6'5". He's a Winston-Salem Christian, plays with Garner Road. He's part of that dynamic trio of Rakees Passmore and Paul McNeil. And, you know, he definitely holds his own. Isaiah's another one that came up in my program. And he's been good for a long time. And I always say I'm an old guy. So, you know, a lot of youngsters listen to the podcast. He reminds me of Larry Hughes when I used to watch him. Same type of game, same smoothness to his game. And that's lofty praise for a kid, but that's who he reminds me of. And to me, the games complement each other a whole lot. Isaiah can shoot the ball from the outside, mid-range. He finishes at the rim with both hands. He's, you know, versatile as a defender. He can keep smaller guys in front of him. He can challenge athletic guys because he's just as athletic. But I think he has an unappreciated basketball IQ because of his size and athleticism. It's easy to just think everything comes easy. But if you take a look at his footwork, take a look at some of the angles that he takes on offense and defense, there's a lot of basketball IQ being used for him to get the production that he's getting, especially on the AAU levels, high-profile matchups. He's not backing down to, you know, high profile guys or guys who are, like, you know, similar in size and athleticism. I think he's well versed in those type of matchups. He's ready for the spotlight. He's another one that I think just has a high ceiling. If he gets, you know, it's hard to tell what somebody's 3-point percentage is in high school, but if I had to guess, I would say he's somewhere in like a 32-35% right now. I think he has the possibility and the ceiling to be a 40% shooter. And this is, I'm talking about projecting for college, if he continues to work on that, especially off the bounce. I think catch and shoot, he's much higher than that already. But off the bounce or coming off screens and stuff like that, I think if that area of his game continues to improve, then he becomes a very versatile offensive threat that can also set other guys up. So I would like to see him take the challenge on defense a lot more. He's able to get away with his length and athleticism to disrupt guys, but I would like to see him become way more aggressive in the passing lanes, which would lead his team to get more buckets in transition. I think that's one step that he will continue to make. I see it some this summer, but I think as he continues to improve in that area, you know, he could be a guy that gets the defensive board pushes and starts secondary break. He can run the half-court offense. He can get the ball late in the shot clock and get you a good shot attempt or give you clutch buckets, you know, in key situations. So he's, you know, he's another prospect that I like a lot. And then I have two under-the-radar guys that people haven't really mentioned too much. One is 6'7", Draven Pilsen. Draven attends Forsyth Country Day and plays for Team Curry, 16U. And Draven can shoot the basketball with the best of them. Good athlete, long wingspan, just long kid in general. Very versatile on defense. High academic kid as well. So Ivy Leagues and any of those conferences would be, man, it would get absolute steal in Draven Pilsen. But I think a lot of people just haven't really seen his full game as of yet. He's another one that works out at a facility, so I get to see it. And he's another one that played in my Team Felt program as well. So I've seen this kid mature and progress since probably around his seventh grade year. all the way to currently. So I've seen his full growth, and I know that he still has a lot of room to go in his growth process, physically and as a basketball player. So I think his upside is tremendous right now. But as an offensive player, you'll see him, he'll catch and shoot guy. He can knock down shots off the bounce. You know, he can finish at the rim in traffic. And like I said, I don't hear his main name out there as much. And, you know, I get it, mixtapes and all that good stuff. You know, popularity contests can drive a lot of interest. But again, the point of this podcast is just, you know, give you the cheat code. This is a kid that I'm telling you, it's going to be somebody a year from now that you wish you'd have brought up to your boss. And like I said, it puts you in a situation to build a relationship with a kid that's going to be, you know, a person that you need to know. So again, I think he's warranted for all the phone calls that he'll receive today as well. But I think he's a kid that, you know, a lot of people just haven't had time to do their due diligence on. Like I said, coaches are in a different place right now. A lot of people are still taking visits from portal kids, and kids like Draven can fall between the cracks because coaches just aren't tuned in to the 24 class like that yet. But again, I'm giving you a cheat sheet. That's why I'm here. I see these kids almost every weekend. I get to watch them compete. I can tell you the goods and bad because I'm there at the facility all weekend. So, but Draven is a high ceiling kid. His skill set right now is that he's 6'6", 6'7". He can knock down shots. He has a versatile offensive game. Defensively, it's going to be interesting to see how his body continues to fill out. If he become an elite perimeter defender as well as in the post, he's a little light in the britches right now. But he's definitely getting stronger. But I think he could cover twos and threes. In high school, of course, he can cover everybody in the high school level. But just projecting out to college, I think he'll be definitely a 3-and-D guy from the perimeter. But I think he's going to have the potential to handle the ball and do some good things if you run a 4-out, 5-out type offense. You know, just projecting out, I can just see that in his game. He's working hard towards that already. So just thinking 2 years down the road, I think he's going to be one of the more versatile prospects in the state of North Carolina in that 2024 class. But Draven Pilson for Scythe Country Day, 6'6", 6'7", perimeter 4. You know, put him on your list to contact. And if you need his contact information or any of these other kids, just let me know. And then CJ Vaughn, love this kid's game. I had a chance to work out with him recently, one-on-one, to get a better feel for, you know, what he could do as a basketball player. And he plays for our NC Rise basketball program. He plays at Winston-Salem Christian. I'm talking about a supreme burst with the ball or without the ball. His speed is second to none. His athleticism and ability to finish over the rim at 6'2", maybe 6'3", long athletic guard, quick twitch type point guard, can shoot the ball at a very high clip off the bounce or catch and shoot. Mid-range is almost automatic, finishes extremely well with both hands around the paint. I'm talking about this kid is, he was an absolute steal for us. He's going to be an even bigger steal at the college level, but I don't think he'll be a secret after tonight. I anticipate him to put up a lot of posts about offers or phone calls or schools that have been in touch with in the next 24 to 48 hours for CJ. But I'm excited about him. And like I said, I'm hard to impress just because some of the guys I've had the blessing to coach over the course of my years of doing this. But he, and from a skill set standpoint and what he can do with the ball in his hands, puts him pretty high up there. I think right now, just because I understand how the recruiting process goes and kind of the visibility, I would say he's trending to be a mid-major guy. I would say low to mid, but his athleticism and skill set is definitely mid to high. Depending on how much visibility he gets and coaches putting in the time to evaluate him, but from a physical standpoint, there's not too many kids at that 6'2", 6'3", type height range that can do what he can do and has that type of burst. He has track star type burst, and for him to have the ball on a string like that at that type of speed, he is a threat on the ball or off the ball, and with his shooting ability, it makes him very hard to defend. So CJ Vaughn, Winston-Salem Christian, man, explosive guard, and on the ball defender, he's 94 feet with it, and he's in your pocket. So I love that he turns guys, he competes on both sides of the ball. He has a big chip on his shoulder because he's flown under the radar so much. But if you type his name in there right now on Twitter or Google or any of those things, it's going to be a lot of stuff coming up about him in the last 4 to 5 months. Man, he played outstanding in April. In the last event he just played in, he had 17 in the first half and back-to-back games and finished with, you know, averaging over 25, 26 points a game for the tournaments. And he was doing it on like 14 shots or something like that, 12, 14 shots. He gets to the paint, he gets to the free throw line, knocks down the three-pointers, and he's explosive. So CJ Vaughn. So any of those guys that I named, if you in this process, you're a little late to game, jumping on 2024s, definitely feel free to reach out to me for that contact information, whether it's through text, DM, you know, whatever. You can hit me on the Ascension Sports page. You can hit me on the chat from the AscensionSportsConsultant.com. Any way you need to get in contact with me, definitely feel free. I love working for these kids and, you know, by giving them opportunity to talk to and connect with college coaches that may or may not been aware of these kids' games. You know, I as this process goes on, like I said, June 15th is a polarizing day. There's a lot of kids who won't receive phone calls, parents listening to this, coaches listening to this. This is not a make or break date. It's just a form of excitement for the kids who do receive the calls. Like it's like a validation that somebody's watching you or somebody is putting in work to help you be seen. So it's kind of that feeling. And we all know that at the midpoint of AAU season stuff, you know, kind of kids got burned out. This is kind of like that injection that makes the kids look forward to finishing out July strong and going right back into their school, you know, basketball seasons. But if you don't get a phone call, it doesn't mean that you can't play. It doesn't mean that you're not going to college. It, you know, it's none of that. So I don't, as much as I get excited about it just because I like seeing kids smile, I like seeing them feel good about themselves, I don't want kids to feel bad about themselves because they don't receive a phone call. If you don't receive one and you think you are deserving, like, definitely tag me in your videos. You know, I'll definitely put it out, you know, because at that point, like, you know, starting tonight, they can start reaching out to you any day. It's not just today. From today on, they can start contacting you directly. So parents, don't be waiting by the phone at 1:15 and nobody calls. Like, it's okay. As soon as coaches do find out about you and they like you, now they have the opportunity to reach out to you directly, and you can't be scammed by any of these websites that says such and such future profile. I'll just put it that way. I followed up on plenty of those websites with coaches when kids tell me that, and they have no clue who your son is or daughter is from that website. So don't go out spending your money and wasting your money like that hoping to get a phone call tonight or in the near future. You got time. Coaches are definitely still wrapping up transfer portal stuff, and I'm about to get into that in the next segment after these commercial break here coming up. And shortly we're going to talk about the transfer portal and kind of some updates on that, some coaching changes that I'm excited about. And then I just wanted to get some tips to college coaches as we go into this and kind of my experiences going through the portal and kind of my red flags with college coaches and during the recruiting process, or, you know, pet peeves and stuff like that. So after this advertisement, you know, stick around. I got some more good stuff for you. And like always, keep ascending, and we'll be right back with you after this break. And just like that, we're back. make sure when you guys start creating these podcasts that you go in a different lane than mine. I want to keep my lights up. Nah, more content the better. Anything that's gonna shine a spotlight on these kids, I'm all for it. That's more than enough to go around, and I think everybody's experience is a little different and brings value to the space. And you know, that's one thing I enjoy about this. I love sharing my experiences with everybody. And this week I've had the pleasure of helping Harry Giles host his basketball camp at Rise Indoor Sports, and it's been an absolute awesome feeling to walk in the gym and see a kid hosting a basketball camp with my two sons in his basketball camp. And I coached him at like 10 years old. So to see somebody who I've seen go from 10 and under to NBA, and then have my sons in that basketball camp with so many of the guys that I used to coach or have been a part of my program, Reggie Davis, who played, you know, college basketball, has now got a photography company and media company. He's there, you know, doing all the media work. Reggie Perkins, you know, he works with the family, you know, sports management company and representation. Trey Chapman, Trey's in the financial space with athletes, you know, across the country. Jordan Perkins, who just recently graduated from Longwood, had a great college career. He's in the building. Josh Hall. Josh didn't play for me. I've gotten to know Josh recently, over the last year or so, as he's doing his NBA thing. But watching him, I definitely was familiar with him with the Durham Hurricanes. And just to see all these kids that you watched over the years grow up. I have an intern, Deshaun Taylor, who, you know, been around Deshaun and his family since he was probably 11, 12 years old. And, you know, now he's working with me. So, I mean, there's so many. And that's the biggest blessing to me, is kind of see these kids operate in a space where they've been productive, they've been positive, they're giving back to kids in the community. So it's been a really, really dope 2 days for me. We got one more day tomorrow. later this morning. So that's been really cool. I'm getting prepared for the public school, high school association live period that we'll be hosting at Rise Indoor Sports, starting Friday at noon. And that'll run all the way through Sunday evening. Looking forward to that, to kind of see the talent and then see some of these kids I've been watching at AAU, to see how they play with their high school teams as opposed to their travel ball teams. And then, you know, of course, I'm looking forward to catching up with a lot of college buddies and coaches that'll be coming through the buildings that I haven't seen in so long. And, you know, connecting the dots even more and continue to build relationships. And that's, you know, I'm looking forward to all those things this week. And then after that, we have another team camp the following week that we'll be co-hosting with Phenom Hoops. And then we have another AAU tournament for the last 4 or 5 weeks of the summer. So it's starting to wind down a little bit, but it's also a lot at stake right now because all the live periods are coming up, and trying to make sure that we get as many kids as we can, the exposure they need, and training they need to look good when the college coaches do come into it. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. My two sons are, you know, going to the gym every day, which is super cool to have them come to work with me for the most part. My oldest son is in the third grade going to the fourth. He's been playing with our fifth grade AAU team, so that's been quite the experience. This is his first year doing travel ball, so it's been the experience for me to be on the other side of it as a sports dad and watching him kind of come into his own. I always laugh because he's not afraid to put up a jump shot. He will shoot that basketball in a heartbeat and play zero defense. He's starting to get better at attempting to play defense now. He's starting to understand the entire game a lot better. Going from rec ball straight to travel ball has been quite the transition, and playing two grades up. But I'm extremely proud of him. He's competing. The team has lost some games, won some games. You know how AAU is at that age. You can win by 20 that morning, get beat by 50 the next game, and win by 6 in the third game. It's all a crapshoot with kids that small, but he still seems to love the game. He's had a real positive experience. So that's been, you know, awesome for me to kind of see that and kind of see him coming to his own and working towards something. And he's an awesome student. His little brother Caden is awesome student too. So like I said, I'm in a really good place in my life, just seeing all this good stuff happening, man. After COVID, that was a long year and a half, and to kind of be in this place a year removed from all of that has been really dope. So a lot of the opportunities God's given me over the last year, is, you know, I don't take it for granted at all. And I, you know, I plan to continue to use any platforms I have and opportunities I can to, you know, bring light to other people's goals and aspirations. I'm hoping to be able to facilitate that every day moving forward. So, you know, I'm looking forward to all the events and stuff that we have going on coming up in the near future. And obviously, I got twin daughters on the way here August. So that date gets closer and closer. So we're super excited about that too. So like I said, a lot of blessings, a lot of good stuff going on this week. And I'm looking forward to everything that's coming with that. And looking to take the time off and just really concentrate on my family here in about 6-7 weeks or so. So everything's, you know, moving right on pace. But currently right now, the biggest things that are, you know, taking up time is, you know, getting the last couple of kids through this transfer portal. Obviously, the big name that I'm working with is Joey Baker now. He's visited Georgia. He's visited Michigan. He's actually at George Washington right now. Got there yesterday. He'll be leaving out today. He's just kind of figuring out what feels comfortable to him. He's in a predicament that a lot of grad transfers are in. You know, they obviously had to get it right on this last one, which includes level, role, minutes, the academic piece. Can I finish my master's in 1 year? So there's a lot that weighs into it. I think people get obsessed with NILs and stuff like that, but just to, you know, burst your bubble a little bit, like, it's not that many NIL deals going out like that. You have to be a dude to get a serious NIL deal. There has to be a lot of production. There has to be some, like, it has to be merit behind it. They're not just giving free money out. And I think that's the misconception about NIL deals. Like, everybody's like, well, when I enter the portal, you know, I don't know what the NIL opportunities are. Well, if you average 1.1 rebound, there's not many. If you got 300 followers on social media, it's not going to be any. I can tell you, like, the magic number for the NIL for larger deals, like real deals, he's going to have 25,000 followers on each platform. That'll get you at the table with some really good deals on, and like, real NIL contracts. Not, here's a QR code, and if they use it and buy some socks, you get a dollar from every, like, not none of that. I'm talking about real cash in hand deals. We're going to pay you X amount of money per month and X, Y, and Z. You're going to probably have 25,000 followers plus the production. And there has to be some benefit to the company to why they give you that money. There's zero return for a player that's not productive, doesn't have a social media influence. Like, there's no return for that company in that situation. And I can be honest, like, a lot of schools still haven't figure out how they want to handle NIL deals, because technically they're not supposed to be a part of that process. It's supposed to be, you know, third party only. I think there's some stuff going into place where that's going to change, or it may have already changed where the schools can be involved in it. But I think right now it has to be third party. They're technically not supposed to help in the NIL process, but just from the outside looking in, I would take that with a grain of salt. I think there's definitely boosters involved and stuff like that. And that's not anything different than what it was before. It's just legalized now. So, but, you know, dealing with Joey's situation has been cool, because he committed to Duke without taking any visits. Like, he just went straight, you know, I'm going to Duke. That was his dream school. So when that opportunity came, he didn't mess around. He took it. This time he's going through the process, and he's doing it in a way to where he won't have any what ifs. He's talked to a lot of different schools over the last 3 weeks. And, you know, he's visited different levels of schools, different conferences, really done his research. He's watched a lot of film. So I think he's close to making a decision. I would expect him to make a decision probably next week or earlier. I think he's done a lot of due diligence. I don't think there's a whole lot of, you know, a whole lot left for him to kind of discover or evaluate. But it's been cool watching and knowing him as a kid, that he wants the opportunity to go in and compete and have a major role in a team's success. So I think whatever program he feels he can get that from, it'll be where he ends up at. And I can just say from a personal standpoint of watching that kid work and his work ethic and seeing him at his best and his prime, like, he can do way more than he was able to showcase at Duke. He can obviously shoot the basketball, but he can be a very gifted scorer when given the opportunity. So I'm interested to see where he's going to be, but I'm just happy that he had the opportunity to go through this process and that he didn't get a chance to do in high school. Well, he didn't take the opportunity to do in high school. He had the chance. He just, you know, decided to go ahead and commit right away. So seeing that would be real cool. And then I have Dre Fuller from UCF, who's also winding down in his process as well. I think, South Carolina's been heavily involved with him. Florida Atlantic's been heavily involved. Cleveland State, like, it's kind of been all over the place, you know, for his level, you know, what his opportunities would look like. Like, it's, you know, I think he's going to, again, I think once you get to the point where you're a grad transfer, you want a chance to put yourself in the best situation to prolong your career. And also, like I said, tackle some academic goals. He'll be the same way. Dre's super versatile. And I think playing time and who's going to give him the largest role is definitely going to weigh out and where he decides to go to school. But again, I think he's within the week of making a decision as well. He's been in there for a little while now, and now it's time for him to kind of go and get situated, because, you know, most of these kids have to at least go to second session of summer school, which will be starting here in probably the next week or 2 weeks, depending on what school they attend. So, and some of these schools have foreign tours, so they, you know, they need to, if they don't have passports already, you got to be able to get a passport and get all that stuff situated. So wishing those guys the best of luck and looking forward to where they end up at. Dees Toney update, who's doing NBA pre-draft workouts. He was at Utah Jazz yesterday. He recently just worked out for Sacramento Kings. He was at Washington Wizards. You know, he's been moving around quite a bit, Charlotte Hornets, and he's been doing really well in these workouts. So I'm interested to see where he ends up. And I can tell you, like, this is my first real go around with actually dealing with NBA personnel and all this whole process as a whole. And the biggest difference with the pro process from the college, there's no manipulation. There's no, you're not manipulating an NBA franchise. Either they think you can play or you can't, or you can help them or you can't. There's very limited spots in that league, and there's some really good guys who get to that league and don't stay. There's a lot of really good guys who don't sniff the league. The G League is full of guys who are all conference, first team, conference MVPs at a high levels, and national championship dudes. So the NBA does very rigid evaluations on these guys, and they're very strategic in who they bring into their programs and or their teams, their franchises. And you have to check all the boxes. Like, character is, I mean, it's a fine tooth comb on the character piece. Like, they calling everybody from your elementary guidance counselor to AAU coach to who, like, they're gonna find whatever they need to find on you. So you have to be ready to answer those questions. It's very upfront, black and white. You know, they ask you questions, they want you to answer them, and you know, regardless if they feel like there's something that fits their franchise, you know, they might take you. If not, then they scratch you off the list and move on to the next one. So it's been very informative to kind of see this process, and it's going to help me make sure my guys are ready moving forward. So that's what I got with the transfer portal. But I think a lot of schools are still in that process of filling scholarships. I know schools that still have 3 and 4 scholarships left and kind of just picking from whoever to fill these things. So that's not a very good place to be in if you're a program right now. I feel for those guys. But there's some good high school kids still available as well. And I think you should kind of circle back and circle the wagons on those high school kids and find you a steal. That would be my advice. But going through this transfer portal process and a handful of high school kids, I just wanted to give some tips to the college coaches out there. I've been around long enough to deal with some veteran guys, like super vets, as head coaches and associate head coaches. And I think the biggest misconception, especially for myself, like, I don't tell my clients and kids where to go to school. One of my pet peeves is coaches saying, "Hey, coach, you know, send them my way. Let's get this done. Let's do this." You know, to be honest, I don't care where my kids go to school at, as long as they're happy. They give me a checklist of the stuff they're looking for in the programs that either they're transferring to or looking to commit to out of high school. And I try to get them as many schools, you know, to choose from that fit all the criteria that they're looking for. At that point, they pay you as the college coach to get that done, not me. And it's not, I have 2 sons at home, and nobody's ever gonna tell me where to send my kids to school. And I have kids that ask me the pros and cons of a program, or what I think about a certain coach, or stuff like that. So I will give them information if I have it, from a personal standpoint. If I don't have it, I put them in touch with former players or former coaches that work with their coach, the same way they would about finding out information about the kid. I do my due diligence on coaches as well. So, you know, I get it. It's a game. And a lot of these coaches have been trained to put on a show for the mom and dad. Like, for me, I don't care anything about the show. There's no wooing me or wowing me. It's, your track record is your track record. If I talk to 5 or 6 former players and they say, "Man, I hated playing for him. He didn't do this. He lied to me." I'm not, you know, I'll tell my kids the exact feedback that I received, and I put them on the phone with those families. And that way the kid, if he decides to still come play for you, like, he knows what he's getting himself into. If you get high praise and they, you know, they go into it, you know, thinking, you know, they go into a good situation. But I don't deliver players to schools. Like, that's not how this works. If I've had positive experience with you, though, I definitely would make that known. If you take care of my kids and I have another kid that you're interested in, like, it's easier for me to co-sign somebody who I've had personal experience with and had a player play for. That's just human nature. And vice versa, like, a lot of coaches contact me about kids because we've had positive experiences together where I've been completely honest about my guys with them, and they appreciated that, so they call me for those guys. So it works, you know, vice versa. But I don't deliver kids, and I think coaches have gotten lazy to an extent to feel that way. Like, you still have to recruit against these schools, and I see a lot of schools that are still asking, like, well, who else is looking at them? And I see it firsthand with this Joy Baker situation. When he decided to take a visit to George Washington, I'm getting a lot of calls in the 19th hour to, "Hey, can we still get involved with him? Is it too late?" And I take that as you didn't either think you could get him, or, like, I don't know what that process is like. But for me, if I really like the kid, I'm going to reach out regardless. And these are Power 5 schools that are reaching out late. And this kid's been in the portal for a while, and he's a high-profile kid. So I can only imagine what they do with not as high-profile kids that they may be looking at and don't pull the trigger on because somebody else hasn't done it. Like, for me, I would just tell coaches to trust their research, trust their eyes, and go for it. And when I say go for it, calling every day, texting every day just to ask. you know, it's one thing to check in on the process. That I think that's fair. But calling is not going to make a decision maker just, man, they really like you. I think kids pick up on it pretty well now. These kids, especially in the portal, they've been through this already. They've heard the spiels before. So they want to know, how much am I going to play? Where am I going to play? What actions you run? How's this benefiting me? Like, they very clear cut. Once you put that on the table, there's really not a whole lot else to do at that point. With high school kids, I think you can kind of recruit the same way you've been doing. But the portal kids, man, a lot of these kids would have very matter of fact list and criteria that they're working with, you know. So just calling every day, what's up, bro, and all that. Like, those kids, for the most part, they build relationships, but they still gonna go to the school that checks the most off their list. They're, you know, it's going to have to be genuine relationships. The parents definitely care about who they send the kids to, especially if they got burned one time before. They're gonna be super cautious of all the slick talk, the bells and whistles. I've been a part of a lot of Zoom calls again this year, and everybody, first thing they put on the screen is NIL and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, how am I going to fit into your system to play? There's no NIL money, again, for somebody who's averaging 1 point and one rebound. Like, I don't care what you put on the screen. Like, it sounds good, and that's a real buzzword, NIL and all that. But in the day, the meat and potatoes is, can you play? And if you think I can play, how are you going to use me to maximize me? And if I want to be a pro, who have you coached that looks like me? And what's the success rate? Like, those are real questions that college coaches need to get back to answering, and not make it so much about the bells and whistles of what you have to offer on the campus and all that stuff. Those buildings don't matter once you step on campus. You know, the history and tradition and not, like, that's cool, but how do I fit into that? And if you can answer that for the recruits, like, you're gonna end up getting a recruit. And, you know, truth be told, a lot of these kids are seeking honesty and trust, because right now, like, so many coaches are on the hot seat, and, you know, it's a lot of stress and pressure. So they'll say just about anything to get these kids. They'll do just about anything to get these kids. And, you know, for my kids, you know, particularly, I do a lot of research for them on who's selling false information and who's not, because I study a lot of rosters. So when you tell me that kid's gonna play 30 minutes a game, and I'm looking at the roster, and there's five kids that look just like them who played 30 minutes last year, and they're coming back, I know how that works. There's no earning time at certain levels in college basketball. There's a lot of stuff that goes into getting a lot of high profile kids, and you got obligations to meet. You've made promises to kids, and it's not so easy for you to just slide somebody in that kid's spot. Like, I know it. I've seen it. I've been on both sides of it. I've been with the kid that pushed somebody out of the spot because they were more high profile, and I've been on the other side where the kid wasn't as high profile and the experience was awful. So I've been on both sides of that. So again, like, for me, I appreciate it. I appreciate the show that you're putting on, but for any of my guys, I just prefer you to be real. My parents are used to that. I don't hold my tongue when it comes to my kids and where I think they're at and what the situations look like. I just rather the coaches attack it that way. But you're going to have to do your own work. You got to sell your program. If you don't know how to sell your program, then that's problematic for you and your career. But I can't just give you a kid. Like, it don't work that way. So just to go ahead and put that disclaimer out there, I don't make decisions for these kids. And you as a college coach need to get back to doing that work, building that relationship, and figuring out, you know, what means the most to that kid and how you can provide that for that kid and his family to build that trust. And, you know, I guarantee you, if you do it, that word of mouth from these families and these players travel so easy now that your reputation will precede you with future recruits, families, guys like myself, the agents that you're going to be associating yourselves with now around the programs. And like things about to really change in this recruiting process. These college coaches who are old school and just want to deal with the kids, I can just tell you, especially in the portal, that's almost absolutely over. You're going to deal with somebody other than just the kid and the parent. And the coaches and schools that figure that piece out and do a good job with it are going to excel when it comes to portal kids especially. But also, don't forget about these high school kids. There are some really talented high school kids out there, JUCO kids. Like, get back to getting on your grind. It's easy to search the portal, but I mean, at the same time, do your due diligence on a lot of these kids. And even in the portal, there's some kids who can really play that didn't get the opportunity at different situations. You have to go back and research who that kid was and see if you can bring that back out of them, that kid at his best can help your program. But don't shortchange it and just go with the kid who had the most stars in high school. Evidently, that doesn't always work out. But, you know, that's kind of my rant and my experiences dealing with the transfer portal this year and last year. And, you know, my kids all landed and did, you know, very well out of the transfer portal. I'm hoping to keep that track record the same. I'm glad I was able to give y'all a fuller episode this week. And I'm hoping to continue to do this more regularly and give you updates just on kind of what's going on, you know, in my life. And hopefully my experience can help, you know, kids, parents, whoever, going through this space in real time, kind of give you my thoughts and feedback. And hopefully you can apply it to whatever you got going on to make your process a lot easier. Again, you know, with Ascension Sports, man, we provide consulting. So that's from parents being able to contact and access us, our database, you know, for recommendations on which AAU team to play for. What should your high school coach be doing right now? What should they be doing as a recruit, as a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior? It's more about getting understanding of what's going on so you're not just guessing as you go through this process. That's the biggest piece that I do. And if your son or daughter is talented enough, then yes, I can market them. I can, you know, make calls to coaches for you. But at the end of the day, I'm not a genie. I can't just tell a coach to offer you or, you know, I'm going to guarantee you a scholarship. It doesn't work that way. And a lot of times the feedback I give back to kids, it's not what they want to hear. A lot of times it's, you're not good enough. And it's okay. Because I can help you become a manager. I can help you become a walk-on. If you're interested in coaching, I can get you in touch with those people. If you're a young person looking, you just recently graduated, you look for GA spots, some type of personnel spot, you know, coaching, whatever. You know, we provide consulting with that. We help kids find agents. If you're going into the pro space, if we think you are a professional athlete, we can help you find financial advisors, even if you're in college and you are receiving big NIL deals and you're not aware of your tax codes and stuff in the state that you're in. You know, we help put you with the right people to make sure that you don't start off in the hole with tax penalties and all that good stuff. So we provide a lot of consultation. I do not provide all those services myself. I have very qualified people in those spaces, in the financial space, in the legal space, as well as dealing with vetting sports agents. We have a very good team in place for all of that stuff. If you need professional skills trainer, I have Daniel Towns, who's located in Atlanta, Jay Coleman, located in Raleigh, North Carolina, Kenna Bates, located in Winston-Salem area. We have some very good guys out here that can help you, your pro guys, collegiate guys. Jeff McGinnis in Charlotte, Ray Crossman in Charlotte. So I have a lot of very talented guys that can get the job done. So whatever your needs are, definitely contact us. Check out the website, www.ascensionsportsconsulting.com. Any questions you have, definitely take a look there. And if you need to contact me, you can contact me directly through the website. I appreciate you guys taking time out to listen to another episode of the podcast. I'll give you updates after this week and let you know what goes on with my guys from the June 15th date. Until next time, keep ascending.